Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Almost fully unified again. We will be tomorrow, but Chris Strong, I assume, has been holding it down in place of Peyton Russell.
He's been very good. He doesn't necessarily give break times either. But
boy, have you noticed this passive aggressive trend that Chop has really started leaning into over the last like 3-4 months? Whenever you're out,
and he read like at least the first sentence of your email.
I know.
I was very impressed by that. I don't know what's going on.
I accidentally clicked on it. I didn't want to get a red receipt and not respond to it.
And the first part of it was Bobby crunching the numbers on all three of us being together.
The last 50 potential broadcast days. So obviously we're not counting weekends here. The last 50 potential broadcast days heading into today, we have all three been together for 21 of those days.
Wow.
So this hasn't been, man, basically since May, since little baby Sharif was born, Ava, it's been, it's kind of been inconsistent. We haven't all been together. And so
this is just us three, not Peyton.
Yeah, not even including Peyton. Okay. So like this,
yeah, the ones that matter.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, look, we'll have Peyton back tomorrow, so the crew will be back together, but we're never going to be stronger than we are right now towards the three of us and Chris, because he's better than Peyton.
And the first show since June 26th.
Mm-hmm. That was the last time. Right? Yep, that was the time that I was, because I was in that Wednesday, took off a week. We had July 4th, and then when I was back on July 5th, Choppy was out. And then you were out for the whole week after that. So it's been 2.5 weeks.
What have you guys noticed from Pepe's trip? What have you taken from it before he gives us the full recap tomorrow?
That he shaved in the middle of it. Like half the pictures he has the mustache and the other half he doesn't, which I don't understand shaving the mustache off in the middle of the vacation.
Maybe he like looked around. He saw the Italian guys.
Right.
And Mackenzie saw the Italian guys, and when he wanted to copycat him. I don't know what the style of his facial hair was.
I don't know, but I'll tell you this. You know, like, we want to go to Switzerland for, like, areas, northern Italy, Switzerland, for our honeymoon. And this doesn't sound like, or look like a vacation. There's no relaxation for him. Right? He's just been sightseeing.
Well, I feel like you're a big sightseer.
Yes,
you would want to have step.
Yeah,
my lazy ass just sitting in the room like, oh, there's a ruin out there. Fine.
Yeah.
I want to sleep in the hotel.
Do they Uber Eats gelato?
As I gotten older, I think I want to just relax. Like that, I think I've missed my window.
No. When you travel, you would want to. You're not gonna relax in Oxnard at all in the room. Just chill one day. It'll go back, and you're waking up at 2:30 out there.
That's fair. I do want to see things. I do want to see sights.
Yeah.
I was surprised that the crowds didn't look as big as they were. I've heard nothing but horror stories about Rome, that the crowds in Rome are just insane, no matter where you go. And maybe they rented out the Vatican for an hour.
He's posting nothing but food and drink, and it has looked really good. I thought his steak, though, was undercooked. And then he had his Zeke fanny pack on, where he posed with his legs like way too spread. And I said, you look like a child molesting Indiana Jones.
I didn't know we were going to come right on and say what you said in the group chat.
I've been out for a week. I'm ready. I'm ready to unload, but I'm like, dude, get Chris Hansen on the line to watch this guy. But he looks like he's having a blast.
He does look like he's having a lot of fun. And it's a free trip too, right? I assume it's a free trip.
On the parents.
That's
the photo you're talking about there?
Yeah.
With his hands on his hips.
Ryan would have had it up.
Yeah, Ryan would have had it up.
Ryan would have had it up.
Carter sleeps in.
R.I.P. Ryan.
I'm paying as much attention to Ryan as I am to Peyton in terms of what Ryan is doing.
He's still watching us. He's still checking in on the fan cam when he gets a few minutes.
All right. Jamal Adams, DFW target, Dallas Stars fan with the tattoo on his leg. He finally gets picked up.
Yeah, this is one of the rare wins that we have as a show where we're lockstep in on not going after somebody. But when the Cowboys and a lot of the fans wanted to go get Jamal Adams, and the Cowboys were thinking about it, and the Jets were asking for firsts or two firsts, we were like, oh, God, no. Well, you know you're right when somebody signs in the middle of July. When they sign in the middle of July, it means they really had no options until teams, right, got past June 1, they had a little cash, and they threw them a bone. When you get signed by somebody 10 days before training camp, there's not much left. And that's what happened. I mean, he just signed with Tennessee to basically, I would assume, end his career.
Is there any team in the NFL that more represents the, yeah, sure, all right, well, let's see if they have anything left than the Titans? Like Jamal Adams, they went and got DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones. They signed Jadeveon Clowney as one of those teams that signs Jadeveon in like late August every year. So they are just, it seems like every year adding whoever that big free agent is that everybody's like, well, are they going to play anymore? Are they done? What's going to happen here?
But they wouldn't sign Derrick Henry.
No. Because he's a running back. Smart move.
Right, well, smart.
Bobby, you and I were interested. Could have been talked into Jamal Adams for this Cowboy offseason.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was when you reach the point that he did, which he was no longer going to be the $15 million type of player or whatever that he was in Seattle, and it wasn't going to cost you draft capital, and you're just talking about somebody who potentially could come in here and play a box safety and play the run game, I would have been in favor of adding him under certain circumstances. But look, I mean, if Mike Zimmer is going to do a lot of the complex schemes that he wants to do on defense, specifically with the secondary is going to be the most complex, difficult area of the football field for the Cowboys this year in terms of what they're asked to do pre-snap, post-snap, and all the different identifications they're supposed to make. And if you feel like Jamal Adams busts too often, then it may be a situation where Mike Zimmer said, I can't have that in my secondary.
Don't look if you already haven't. Do you know how old he is?
Oh, gosh. He's got to be 28.
He's only 28.
He was really young. He was like 20 as a rookie.
That's such a young age to be toast, essentially. But
yeah, I don't want him doing anything in the secondary. No. I want to just hear about him as a front seven player.
Make him a linebacker.
To my football team.
I mean, they've got a history of just saying, hey, safety, go play linebacker. So why not do it again?
Jalen Brunson, the former Dallas Maverick, making RJ Choppy sick by agreeing to a four-year, $156 million extension. Why is that notable? Because it's $113 million less guaranteed than he's eligible to get.
He took unprecedented.
$113 million less. It'll cost him $37 million over the next 3 years with a fourth-year player option. This is the Nova Knicks. This was their plan.
Yeah.
This was their plan to get everyone together from college and hope that they'll love each other so much and that college bond would keep them together and maybe to have them take more team-friendly deals, and Jalen Brunson steps up to the plate first.
So here's how it looks. The Knicks save, like you said, the $37 million in cap savings, right? If he had waited 1 year, so his starting salary for the extension in 25-26 would be $35 million. It will peak at $43 million in 2028-29. If he had waited just the 1 year, his salary in 25-26 would be $46 million. So it would be higher than his peak salary. And it would peak at $61 million in 2029-2030. So he'd actually get an extra year out of it. It was the year one would have been a 35% hit on the salary cap. Like, this is insane.
He learned
to take this little of money. I mean, kudos to the Knicks for being able to get it done. Man, I can't believe his agent let him do this.
He learned from Dirk from his time here in Dallas to just take the team-friendly deal, keep the band together, which, by the way, very cool photo over the weekend, the viral one of Klay Thompson wearing the old-school Dirk jersey. I thought that was cool that he's already like leaning into that. But one of the things that I was – you mentioned a good point there, Sean, about the idea of
– about Dak listening and taking less?
About the idea of this was a Knicks strategy of just like, well, let's get these guys together, get them to play for each other and potentially – take some deals here, especially in the era of the second apron. But it's a thing where I can't believe that this is the only time. Like, we talked about all the Jalen Brunson tampering with Dallas. they had to have, when you look at these other, this has to be an entire collection of tamperings to me. The way the Bridges thing went down, there was an entire push from the Nets trying to say, no, look, we didn't allow any tampering. What are you talking about? We had nothing to, he didn't know he's getting traded until we called and told him. And things that have gone with DiVincenzo and Josh, like, I can't believe they didn't tamper with these other three in this push to, hey, would you guys be cool playing together again? Is that what something you guys would want?
Look, Jalen Brunson probably realizes he can be a god in New York. We're waiting for a New York Knicks title, and there has not been a Nick god since Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, and he never won. I mean, like, you know, so like
Brunson, like Carmelo,
Jeremy Lin,
probably for a week. Carmelo probably the closest thing, but he never came close.
Right, you know, like there, you had the guys that Sprewell, Allen Houston, Larry Johnson team was they were kind of fun.
Yeah,
from because there were some names to it. They had some juice, but yeah, like there's not been a Nick god in years, and is this going to put them over the top? I mean, who knows, right? Who knows? They'll be able to get somebody else and other players. That's the whole point of this operation of getting him to take less money. But man, you're right. He is a made guy now in New York City.
Bronny James report. He's struggling. He is struggling. 0-for-12 from the 3-point line, 26% from the field during his summer league debut. He's 6-of-26 overall, and he said, I just feel like I'm in a little slump right now. So it is not starting off well for Bronny.
No, it's not. To the point where Doug Gottlieb, who is the new head coach of Wisconsin Green Bay,
and part-time head coach,
and recent texter to RJ Choppy.
Yeah, finally, he texted me back a month after. I sent him a congratulations text. A month later, he finally hit me back, which, hey, whatever.
That's NIL, fine. He's busy.
NIL, man. He said, I'm not sure Bronny would even start for me. He said he would compete to start. He put it on Twitter. He would compete to start. I like how he moves the ball, defends. He wouldn't be my point. My wings are bigger. Without seeing him with us, I think it'd be hard for him to start TBH, to be honest.
I do feel bad for Bronny.
Yes.
I'm not rooting against him, even though he was totally just gifted his position and his spot on the team and his contract. I blame LeBron more. But I feel bad for the kid, and I am rooting for him.
I do feel bad. They've made it so we're going to just hate him.
Yeah.
Because they were hiding plays. They were hiding plays of his last week.
What do you mean?
There was a player named Adonis Arms.
Fantastic name.
It is. It is a fantastic name. But he used to play at Texas Tech. Well, he's a 26-year-old G leaguer. He absolutely left Bronny's lingerie on the deck.
Yeah.
Completely doing that. And that play was only available on social media. They didn't show it on NBA or ESPN highlights. They didn't show it anywhere. If Bronny did that to him, it would be all over the place.
Yeah.
And the people are upset that they're hiding his bad plays, or at least they were. It's hard to hide 0-for-12 from three.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be difficult, like you say, for us not to have some animosity towards him. But I really do. It's not easy. I can't imagine growing up being LeBron James's kid, and it would have been really easy to go sideways with a lot of that attention stuff. He seems like he is a really good, stable kid with like a good head on his shoulders who And so, I mean, in that aspect of it, I would really like to see him hang around the league and have some success. But man,
he's stinking it
ESPN
up.
And that they're really trying to make me not like him.
Yes.
And that's a problem.
Tough. And Redick's like, I don't care. Just play defense. Just be Lu Dort. That's what I want you to be. You don't have to be a threat right now offensively. Just be a hound.
Does he have the size to be able to compete though, right? At the NBA level.
Not Lu Dort size. Lu Dort size is
big man.
Yeah. That's a BBM. That's a big, beautiful man right there.
Oh, BBM. Okay. Right. Have not heard that one yet. And hopefully we'll not hear it again. 6 a.m. Club back together again here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Choppy says, not yesterday, but Saturday may have saved the Texas Rangers season. We have another all-star for the festivities kicking off tonight, and we have to crap all over Jose Altuve for doing what he does every single year. That's next on the Home of the World Series champs.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And the pitch is swung on, and that's hit deep to right field. That is way back, and that ball is history. A no-doubter for Josh Smith.
Eric Nadell with the call. Josh Smith goes yard twice, and they take out the armpit on this radio station. We are your home for all of the All-Star festivities, including the Home Run Derby tonight. Good morning, Metroplex. Squad back together again. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. Josh Smith did not make the All-Star team, but Corey Seager was added. So this will be the fifth straight All-Star week in which the Rangers have had multiple representatives on the AL roster.
I was surprised that I saw that stat because there were some lean years in those 5 years that they had multiple All-Stars still. And some of those are before they signed Seager and Simeon and DeGrom. They still had multiple.
Because that was COVID year too, wouldn't it have been? Or the year before that, 2019 or whenever that would have been. And they were not very good then.
No. Did they have an All-Star game in 2020?
That's what I was just about to say. I can't remember. That it may have been 2019 and they just skipped it in 2020.
And how about Jose Altuve skipping again? Bassick said this before I went out on vacation. He's like, Altuve is going to bail. Everyone knows throughout the sport, that's what he always does. Last year in which he played in the All-Star game, do you know it? You want to guess it, Choppy?
2017.
2018. That's disgraceful.
He's a chicken.
That is,
you know,
disgraceful.
What. It is. This is.
Wants to recover for the second half of the season.
MLB should not allow this. They should not have allowed this. When they did their stupid immunity deal with the Astros, they should have said, fine, we're going to give you immunity, but the one thing is you have to show up for the All-Star game.
And you have to show us the tattoo as well. No, because what is it? I mean, that goes on his ledger now as three extra All-Star game appearances throughout his career. Like, when his career's over, people are going to see, wow, he was this many time All-Star.
Yeah.
And you're throwing three extra on top where he couldn't give an S about showing up and representing.
He is ducking the pressure of the trash cans, of the booze. Now, 2018, I don't think that came out yet. That trash stuff hadn't come out yet.
But, no, because it was leading up to the 2020 season where everybody was crushing them.
Right, and the whole COVID thing was like, oh, man, they're going to luck out because the first time they play, there's going to be no fans in the stands.
I mean, history would show you that he's not ducking the pressure of showing up in Arlington. He just doesn't want to attend the event. He wants extra family time or whatever he's doing.
Yeah, and that, look, I get it. Like guys do. There's a lot of guys that skip All-Star events. Skip Pro Bowls, but the Pro Bowl, like, it is what it is, right? This is you got
6 years straight.
It's one. Yeah, get one of them. I guarantee if it was in Houston, he would play.
This is the type of stuff. Yeah, this is the type of stuff that makes Brett Boone ticked off, who will join us this week. But last time Brett was on, the former Mariner, you could hear him kind of talking to Jose Altuve and others, like, "Yo, man, it is an honor. It is still an honor." And Altuve is like, "Nope. Not going to happen." But the Rangers, as Bobby pointed out last night, 7-2 in their last 9 games, and they have won 3 series in a row. And you think Saturday's game was the biggest of all in the series?
I do. Because look, we didn't know at the time what was going to happen on Sunday. But the Rangers already had lost game one of the series. If they had lost the second game, then you're going up against Blanco. You don't know what Scherzer, you know, he's been good. But he hasn't gone tremendously deep every single time out there. So you knew it was going to be, you were probably going to have a little bit of a bullpen day. You were going to be facing a sweep. That put them, that single win on Saturday kept them with a chance to buy at the deadline. I think this past weekend, Bobby, you said it too. If they went out there and they got swept by Houston, they were probably going to be sellers.
What did you guys make of the report that came out from Nightingale, and what did Bob Nightingale have to say about the Rangers selling?
Well, he said, barring a dramatic turnaround, that they were going to be more likely to be sellers. Sandler destroyed it.
Oh, yeah. Sandler went off and was very aggressive going after Bob Nightingale.
Yeah, he was
saying that it's not true.
Yeah, he said there's no indication. I don't know where the hell he's getting that from. There's no indication.
Wow. Yeah, and also it talked about, like, barring it, he didn't like the language of barring an extreme turnaround or an improbable turnaround.
Yeah.
Jared just was not a fan of the.
Because Bob said to us, because we asked, like, what is a dramatic turnaround? Define that.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, get to 500. Oh, okay. I mean, that's not dramatic.
Yeah.
Because they were only about 5.5, 6 games back at the time.
And that was the thing to Sandler was like, it's not like they're in the cellar away. They're not 14 games out right now.
Right. If they were in the AL East playing against Baltimore and New York, who are 50-something wins, 55 wins or whatever, okay, maybe at that point.
Like the Rays are 10 games back, but they're 500. The Rangers are 4 games under, and they're 5 back.
Right.
4 behind the Astros. And remember, they added a wild card, right? So we have 3 wild cards now.
There's 3, yes, because the first 2 get byes.
I went and checked that in the standings. I was like, oh, there's a Z next to this team. Another team does get in.
Right, yeah. So you get 3 teams that get in the wild card. 3 division winners, 3 wild cards. And, like, we have come to the point in Major League Baseball in the playoffs, it's just a matter of getting in at this point. Just get in. Find your way in and figure it out. That's all it is. So, yeah, like, if you're within striking distance, and I consider 5.5 games at the All-Star break.
5.
Or 5 games, clearly within striking distance. Shoot, man, 7 or 8 games within striking distance at the All-Star break.
Yeah, I'm not ready. You want to be small sellers? Okay, I get it. But I'm not ready to sell right now.
Right.
Scherzer is staying healthier and been better than I thought. You think that the offense is going to eventually, at some point in time, wake up. Maybe Adolis gets healthy during this break a little bit.
If you know...
Get DeGrom back.
If you know that Mally and DeGrom are coming back, and you sell Heaney and Lorenzen at the deadline, I don't consider that really selling. I still think you're in a position where you could compete.
I think...
Can you trade Yates if you're still trying?
I would not think so.
No, not when the whole... If they were contending or if they were buyers, what we've heard consistently has been they'd want to add bullpen arms because they're concerned about the bullpen. So if you were to sell off Yates, that is the only problem here is that Kirby Yates, I don't anticipate Kirby Yates is necessarily going to be here next year. And this is as high of a value as you're going to be able to get. So you're stuck in this window of like, do we have a legitimate chance to compete? And are we going to basically let Kirby Yates' value just pass us by or David Robertson's value pass us by when David Robertson is, what, 38 now? Like, I mean, he doesn't have many years left. No. This is all you're going to be able to get for him and leverage for him. And there is 7-2 is great. And winning 3 straight series is great. You cannot downplay that, as especially with all the issues that we've had over the last couple months. But the only thing that gives me a little bit of pause is, okay, you win Saturday night, getting 4 hits in 10 innings. And then last night, if Josh Smith doesn't hit 2 home runs, you score nothing.
Yeah, there's a couple times in that game where I was like, okay, Houston's got the tying run on. Here, they're going to tie this game because the gap was not there before Josh's second home run.
Right.
Felt like the Rangers were in control, but bam, there's a couple Astros on before, obviously, Spores and Lats were huge.
They were, and look, I mean, you got to get, last year they got all kinds of contributions from random spots, like Zeke Duran having himself a month where he was, or a 60-game stretch where he was just fantastic, and you've got to get those kind of contributions in order to make postseason. Just the way it is. Josh Smith has been that guy this year.
All right, we have audio from Bobby's favorite Major League Baseball play-by-play man. By the way, let us know if you're going to the Derby tonight. I was asking the fellas, and the response back was tickets too expensive. Too expensive, but the festivities with the Derby tonight and the All-Star game tomorrow. But Michael Kay at it again.
Michael Kay is at it again. This is Bobby's boy, his favorite announcer.
You're drinking, buddy?
My drinking buddy, one time. He went off on a caller. So he's also the Yankees play-by-play guy, and he does an afternoon radio show in New York on the ESPN affiliate there.
Whose station says second best broadcast in town.
Second best broadcast. That's right. They had they bought the commercial advertiser from the other station, the Met station. So this caller calls up and starts to call him a Yankees homer. Michael's not a homer. Like, I will give him that. He is not a homer. He went off on this caller. I think Bobby actually might like him after this.
Big Michael K will never criticize the Yankees. Probably hang up on me, but never.
You want me? You know what, Chirkoff? You want me to hang up on you, don't you? I am not going to hang up on you. I'm going to let you spew your nonsense. All I do is sit here and criticize the Yankees every day. Are you hard of hearing? Are you hard of hearing, Mike?
What'd you say about Boone? What'd you say about Boone?
I tell you, he is managing and... No, no, no.
Boone doesn't do anything.
Are you a Met fan or a Yankee fan?
He doesn't.
You're a Met fan or a Yankee
fan?
What are you?
Yankee.
You're a Yankee, Yankee. Fan. I have Yankee. Said that Boone acts in concert with the front office. I'm giving you reasons what's going on. I have said over and over they have a chance of falling out of the postseason. What do you want me to do? I don't understand what you want me to do, Mike. Go find it somewhere else.
Boone is a puppet.
Go find it somewhere else, Mike. Tell me who's saying stuff like this.
You'll hang up, Michael. You'll hang up, Michael.
Again, you want, but you want me to hang up on you, you clown. You want me to hang up on you. I am going to let you bury yourself. I'm not going to hang up on you. You deserve to be exposed as a moron. Go. Continue to go. You've got the radio. Go, Mike. Go.
I love how Kay keeps telling him, go, expose yourself. But he keeps talking.
He keeps talking.
he won't let the caller talk.
That feels like a lot of New York radio in general, where they do that whole bit. But I respect the idea of just, he clearly sniffed out the guy wants me to hang up on him. He doesn't have any idea of what he wants to say other than that. And so he's right to say that. He's still a clown because I'm sure he would, maybe he'd come interview with us last week once Chiafalo cut his hair. Because that obviously is uniform with the Yankees, just like he forces Cleveland bat boys to do.
That's right. Now, part two, he did go a little bit of former President Trump here, where you know he does everything's the best ever, ever, the worst ever. Yes. I'm the only one ever to do this. He did.
I'm the best bullet dodger.
Yeah. Oh God. He did kind of go down that path in clip number two.
Yes. So who are they going to hire? Al Steinbrenner loves Brian Cashman, but you're not a baseball guy, but you're telling me that I don't rip them. You know what? Now you get hung up on because you're a moron. You're a moron. Bye, Mike. Bye, Mike. Clown, jerk, moron.
Well, no, that's not a good ending. You stayed above the fray for so long.
Because, Peter, do you realize, I mean, you're a smart guy. Do you realize how much I shouldn't say jeopardize myself, but I put myself in the crosshairs. I criticize this team to an extent that no broadcaster ever does. And I'm in the unenviable position or enviable of having a talk show where I have to be honest, and I'm also the voice of the team. Don't tell me that I don't criticize the team. This guy is clueless. I gave him 6 minutes on New York Afternoon Drive, and he's going to say, well, Michael hung up on me. Get a life, you jerk.
So a lot of times...
No broadcaster ever.
You know, I obviously think that's very entertaining. I wouldn't want to listen to it, you know, 90% of a show.
Every
but
day, yeah.
A lot of times when that happens, you end up as the host, like, you're like, oh, that was an ugly look for me. Or your boss would be like, that wasn't very likable. You know what I mean?
Right.
Those are kind of the criticisms and the backlash that come with that. But maybe in New York, they're just used to it.
I think they are.
You come across sounding whiny. Like, I'm dying to find out what happened with Sandler last night in the Post. Someone tweeted me, y'all pray for this Tolo, as Jared Sandler lit him up.
Oh.
And Jared was like, no, it was just regular conversation. It was just regular. And the guy's like, well, it kept me entertained 30 minutes going to pick up dinner. So I want to know what Jared did, but that's every once in a while.
Every once in a while. You can't do that every day. That can't be every minute of every day. Because you listen to other, when we travel or, you know, you pick up on other shows, you see clips like this. Like, obviously this doesn't happen all the time. Otherwise there'd be clips all over the place. They went personal.
All right, I always look forward to handling these types of topics with RJ Choppy. Bobby, I don't know. He was scared. He was wondering, like Kevin Hegland, if we were going to talk about the story that has taken over the world. And we are.
Oh,
the
baby.
Trump falling down, according to CNN. We'll talk about the assassination attempt next on Sean and RJ. Where were you? And how did you get the alert?
From you? I got the alert from my handicapper, Bo, from the Football 401k. And he said, they just tried to assassinate Trump. And I was like, what? And I flipped over to the change of channel, and I see the headline or the videos. And I'm like, whoa!
Yeah.
What?
Now, where did you flip over to get those headlines? I'm curious.
I actually did flip over to CNN.
Whoa!
I've made no bones about it. I respect the way they gaslight America. I just, like, they are such blatant liars about where they sit on the political spectrum. I have to actually respect them. I respect somebody who can just lie blatantly as much as they do. That's, oh no, we're middle of the road. So I'm like, you know what? I actually give you guys credit for that. So I do watch them. That's why I choose to watch.
Where were you, and were you able to switch over quickly to something?
I was at home. I didn't even turn on the TV. I just went to social media and started searching for posts and coverage of it. But no, I was sitting at home, and you texted us about it. And I was like, this is the thing that was weird to me about it was this had happened, I guess, 20 minutes before you texted us or it really started to blow up. And I looked around. I was like, this does not, like, my timeline should be flooded with this, I would think, and it's not. And that's where I was like,
Twitter's been acting weird for me over the past week.
I was like,
I'm getting weird, like, limitations. I keep refreshing, like, it's not working correctly. That's just me.
Well, and I had asked you guys immediately. Like, I texted back. I was like, are we sure this is real? Just because I don't see it anywhere. Like when I Twitter search, it's a bunch of users, but there's no news outlets that I see popping up in the search at the top of it.
Chris Strong, where were you? And did you flip on over immediately to some type of coverage?
I was at the Hutchins barbecue in Frisco. So I was plowing down on a meal, and then the buzz started going around. I checked my phone, and yeah, it's one of those moments where you're just like,
is that where Keith Lee reviewed? I think he went to a different Hutchins.
Maybe the McKinney one, maybe. But
and how was it?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was incredible.
Did you get the stuffed jalapenos?
No, I just went for the jalapeno sausage. I went for cheap sandwich. Okay. Cheapish sandwich, you know.
And good.
It was great. Fantastic.
2 inches away. Said if he did not turn his head, it would have been over. An AR-15 that Thomas Matthew Crooks, three names, 20 years of age, got from his father, who legally purchased it. A registered Republican, because you know the entire world was waiting for...
Oh, they wanted to find out. Absolutely.
Oh, not wanted to find out. They wanted it to be someone Biden let in. Or it was a Dem. It was a crazy lib. Registered Republican who had a $15 Democratic donation, but the 20-year-old also had explosives in his car and apparently at his house.
Yeah. That the 15 bucks goes a long way today. And it goes a long way. It's a very odd, like, pairing. Like, you're registered Republican, but you have a $15 donation to the Democratic Party. It's a very odd thing. But, yeah, the explosives they found in the car, they found the gun. And now, like, you get all... And this is the problem with AI that Bobby loves. I don't know what's real anymore. These man-in-the-street videos that they found where the guy had the visor on with the fake hair sticking up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, is that real? Like, I don't even know. Like, because he said, yo, we're yelling at the guys on the roof. We can see with the rifle. Yeah. The cops go up there, and they just go, he's good to go. Well, I don't know what's real anymore.
Yeah. Yesterday on the news, and I was just obsessed with this. It's all I've had on in the house. Apparently, someone was trying to climb the building to get to the shooter. Shooter saw the person climbing, was unable to draw their weapon, so they like dropped down for safety, and that's when the shooter started about 150 yards away. So these are all the questions, right? How did he get up there? Why was there hesitation from one of the snipers waiting for the gunman to fire first? And then if you get all the conspiracy theories, inside job was trending, right. Stage, fake. All that stuff was trending. Mm-hmm. But those are the main questions. And you were asking people. Broadus was texting us his Secret Service friends' messages last night as well.
Yeah, I got a buddy in the service, and he said, like, this would not have happened if it was the president. Or if Trump was the president, this would not have happened. Because the president has more security than somebody running that is not the president. Even former presidents don't have the same security detail that they had when they were in office. You get a certain amount for 10 years, it's paid, then you got to buy your own or
and
whatever.
And then conflicting reports over whether Trump's security detail was taken away from, removed, not approved. I think Caitlin Collins from CNN came out and said no. Her sources told her it was an inaccurate report that they tried to lessen Trump's security detail, yeah. But you have that argument out there.
Yeah, that argument out there. The FBI is probing this now, which that's interesting in its own right, because Trump has never had good dealings with the FBI. He's like, he's talked crap about them, so now they're leading this investigation. But yeah, he basically told me, this agent was like, yeah, like, when you're not the president, we just have more vulnerabilities. And that roof, 1,000% would have been secured if it was... If Trump was still the president, if this was 2020, it would have been secured. Or if Biden was there, it would have been more secured. The reality is they just didn't have it. That's Now, you can believe that or not, and a lot of people don't.
The photo and image I didn't know whether to believe was the bullet going by him.
I totally agree. That's a wild... If that's a real photo.
Like, what are the odds? How many shots got fired?
It's five, right? Five shots?
Five shots, and it nicked his ear.
Nicked his ear.
That's it.
Yeah. Like, and part of me, like, the reason I don't think this was an inside job is, like, if you were going to do that, wouldn't you hire a marksman if you really wanted him to actually hit it and not some 20-year-old kid who may or may not have ever shot a gun from 150 yards before?
I don't know.
Or 500 yards or whatever?
Jake Paul saying, WTF Secret Service doesn't start shooting until after the shooter did. This says so many red flags. Sniper was 150 yards out. Protocol for Secret Service is to have entire 500 yards of perimeter covered. His detail got compromised, or this was a mishap of epic proportions. And people are like, yo, don't be applauding the Secret Service. These were, I think, Trump fans saying this. Taking out a shooter that gets eight shots off, you said five, whatever, eight, I don't know, kills a spectator, injures another, hits a former president in the head, that's not a win. These were egregious failures in coverage, mm-hmm. capability, and protocol. What is your answer to...
It may have been five before they shot back.
What is your answer to waiting too long until the shots were fired at President Trump?
Not striking first. I don't know. Like, are they supposed to shoot on site if they see anything? Like, I don't know. Do they have to, like, you know what I mean? I don't know what their protocols are.
Because if the guy, like, is just laying up there on a roof, again, you think that's what he's doing, something bad.
Right.
But you shoot him, you kill him, and then that's a disaster.
Right.
But I assume you're able to see that he had an AR.
I would assume you're able to see that. Because, like, maybe they didn't see him because the way the roof was pitched, they weren't able to see him until, you know, the shots went off and they were able to hear it. Because that guy that you saw, that sniper behind Trump, he shoots back. And then I wonder if, like, he had to refigure out where he was and find him again in the site.
But look, no matter, there's, you cannot dispute. Love Trump, hate Trump. What he did in creating the images that are already all-time shots, no pun intended, with the blood, the fist raised. What he did in responding with his security detail to be like, wait, 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 and then be defiant, say, fight, fight, fight. I mean, that was freaking badass. Love him, hate him, you have to admit that. I know plenty of liberals who are like, damn.
Dang it.
Dang, what he did was freaking cool. And I texted you guys immediately. There's your Time magazine cover. That will be in the White House, framed up, replacing Biden.
Oh, he will absolutely put that photo up.
It'll be like us having SI covers around our room when we were kids. Him on the ground. That was Amanda. Like, one of the first things she noticed, she's like, look at these photographers. Their shots being fired, and the photographers are running to the bottom of the stage to get those photos, pictures. And now you see why.
Yeah.
Because the photo of him on the ground underneath everyone, and then, of course, with the hand raised, people are like, this is way too staged. No one could do anything like that in the moment. No one could do anything that cool and defiant. The American flag was hanging over him, like, perfectly with the way he had his hand up and the blood drizzling from everywhere. I mean, you just had people saying, election over, night-night, ball game.
Yeah, and the photo there, of the specifically the one, like you said, that's kind of lower on the stage, just looking up, and he's got the fist that he's pushing out, and just the blood, like, going down his ear. It's like, that'll be an image we see 50 years from now.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. like that's going to be a
how many profile shot. How many people change that to their profile pics?
I was waiting
to just see new profile pics.
Absolutely.
All over social media.
Tons. On the Franklin Injury Attorneys fan decks, combat vet here, the rules screw us. They likely had to get command approval in order to be proactive with the shot, which ends up always getting us killed. Mm. 150 yards is a short distance with an AR-15. The sniper had him in sight for 4 minutes, and they wouldn't give him the green light to take him out. I there probably is a lot of red tape that goes through that.
Of community. You worry about the Cowboys with 10 seconds left on the play clock. How about this?
Yeah.
With time of the essence.
You can't take him out fine. Like, we'll just go from that perspective. But why not just...
Disarm.
Get him off the stage. Just get Trump off the stage. Like, we're going to have to cut this short. Stop. Move him off the stage.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why that. I can understand if they feel like we can't get clearance to shoot, but if there's some sort of security threat, why aren't they saying
That's
get him
question.
Off the stage?
Yeah, and then the the video or the photos of him turning his head, like how it would have created a different angle if his head didn't turn at the last second. I mean, the whole thing was that was such a wild scene.
I mean, what was the last assassination attempt on a candidate or president would have been Hinckley. John Hinckley Jr. with Reagan in 81,
Reagan,
I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you've obviously had some people who have planned certain things, or like, you know, you had somebody during the Obama years, I think during his first term, somebody had shot at the White House, but it's not like he was outside. There hasn't been like a credible attempt in person like that since probably Reagan. And I mean, there was a stretch there from Kennedy in 63 to Reagan in 81 where it happened like six times. Where George Wallace got shot, Bobby Kennedy got shot, Reagan, Gerald Ford, they tried a couple different times. And it's been this lull essentially for 43 years where we haven't had anything like this. And this is the first time really in any of our conscious lives that this has happened.
Yeah, and you know, my buddy who's in the service, he was like, you know, they don't use convertibles obviously anymore ever since Kennedy got shot. And he goes, I assume you won't see from either candidate. And I don't know if President Biden canceled his recent tour because they were outdoor venues and they may just go strictly indoors at this point. I don't know what they're going to do.
Delayed response in many people's opinions from Biden as Obama beat him to the punch on social media. You had world leaders, President Bush chiming in, everyone trying to condemn political violence. And tonight, you got the RNC in Milwaukee, and President Trump says, I'll be there. And that's why we played 50, because all the 50 Cent memes were going around, and 50 Cent was like, oh, well, why am I trending? And I think he put this up at one of his performances.
I don't know
what's real anymore.
He had like a pop-up performance, and he put the Get Rich or Die Trying cover up with Trump's head that's superimposed awesome. On it, and he came out there and played Many Men.
If I think... the despicable Clay Travis, whose guts I hate, he tweeted, though, if 50 Cent comes out tonight for the intro, like a UFC intro, that the roof will blow off the building. And it will blow off the building. It's going to blow off the building regardless.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know. Just, Trump doesn't speak tonight, though, right? It's
no.
The president goes the last... He's
second
the
last
one.
Or last night or whatever it was.
Okay, so not tonight, do it.
Tonight'll be...
But if you just hear that
Kid
beat...
Rock or something.
Play it, Chris. If you hear that beat kicking off when Trump comes out before speaking, the whole place will go in. It'll break the internet.
It will.
Just that.
The internet. I was going to say, the people in the building, I don't know how many of them are actually going to even know the song if they hear it. But,
But he's like, they showed his plane landing. So I would not surprise me if he just comes out and just waves tonight and then speaks another night. He probably won't speak that, but like normally.
Where were you? And how did you get the alert?
From you?
I got the alert from my handicapper, Bo, from the football 401k. And he said, they just tried to assassinate Trump. And I was like, what? And I flipped over to the change of channel, and I see the headline or the videos. And I'm like, whoa!
Yeah.
What?
Now, where did you flip over to get those headlines? I'm curious.
I actually did flip over to CNN.
Whoa!
I've made no bones about it. I respect the way they gaslight America. I just like they are such blatant liars about where they sit on the political spectrum. I have to actually respect them. I respect somebody who can just lie blatantly as much as they do. That's we're middle of the road. So I'm like, you know what? I actually give you guys credit for that. So I do watch them. That's why I choose to watch.
Where were you, and were you able to switch over quickly to something?
I was at home. I didn't even turn on the TV. I just went to social media and started searching for posts and coverage of it. But no, I was sitting at home, and you texted us about it. And I was like, this is the thing that was weird to me about it was this had happened, I guess, 20 minutes before you texted us or it really started to blow up. And I looked around. I was like, this does not – like, my timeline should be flooded with this, I would think, and it's not. And that's where I was like,
Twitter's been acting weird for me over the past week.
I was like,
getting weird like limitations. I keep refreshing, like it's not working correctly. That's just me.
Well, and I had asked you guys immediately. Like, I texted back. I was like, are we sure this is real? Just because I don't see it anywhere. Like when I even when I Twitter search, it's a bunch of users, but there's no news outlets that I see popping up in the search at the top of it.
Chris Strong, where were you? And did you flip on over immediately to some type of coverage?
I was at the Hutchins Barbecue in Frisco, so I was plowing down on a meal, and then the buzz started going around. I checked my phone, and yeah, it's one of those moments where you're just like...
Is that where Keith Lee reviewed? I think he went to a different Hutchins.
Maybe the McKinney one, maybe, but...
And how was it?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was incredible.
Did you get the stuffed jalapenos?
No, I just went for the jalapeno sausage. I went for cheap sandwich, okay. Cheapish sandwich, you know.
And good.
It was great. Fantastic.
2 inches away. Said if he did not turn his head, it would have been over. An AR-15 that Thomas Matthew Crooks, three names, 20 years of age, got from his father, who legally purchased it. A registered Republican, because you know the entire world was waiting for...
Oh, they wanted to find out. Absolutely.
Oh, not wanted to find out. They wanted it to be someone Biden let in. Or it was a Dem. It was a crazy lib. Registered Republican who had a $15 Democratic donation, but the 20-year-old also had explosives in his car and apparently at his house.
Yeah. That the 15 bucks goes a long way today. And it goes a long way. It's a very odd, like, pairing. Like, you're registered Republican, but you have a $15 donation to the Democratic Party. It's a very odd thing. But yeah, the explosive they found in the car, they found the gun, and now, like, you get all... And this is the problem with AI that Bobby loves. I don't know what's real anymore. These man in the street videos that they found where the guy had the visor on with the fake hair sticking up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, is that real? I don't even know. Like, because he said, yo, we're yelling at the guys on the roof. We can see with a rifle. Yeah. The cops go up there and they just go, he's good to go. Well, I don't know what's real anymore.
Yeah. Yesterday on the news, and I was just obsessed with this. It's all I've had on in the house. Apparently, someone was trying to climb the building to get to the shooter. Shooter saw the person climbing, was unable to draw their weapon, so they like dropped down for safety, and that's when the shooter started about 150 yards away. So these are all the questions, right? How did he get up there? Why was there hesitation from one of the snipers waiting for the gunman to fire first? And then if you get all the conspiracy theories, inside job was trending, Right. Stage fake. All that stuff was trending. Mm-hmm. But those are the main questions. And you were asking people. Broadus was texting us his Secret Service friends' messages last night as well.
Yeah, I got a buddy in the service, and he said, like, this would not have happened if it was the president. Or if Trump was the president, this would not have happened. Because the president has more security than somebody running that is not the president. Even former presidents don't have the same security detail that they had when they were in office. You get a certain amount for 10 years, it's paid, then you got to buy your own or
and
whatever.
And then conflicting reports over whether Trump's security detail was taken away from, removed, not approved. I think Caitlin Collins from CNN came out and said no. Her sources told her it was an inaccurate report that they tried to lessen Trump's security detail, yeah. But you have that argument out there.
Yeah, that argument out there. The FBI is probing this now, which that's interesting in its own right, because Trump has never had good dealings with the FBI. He's like, he's talked crap about them, so now they're leading this investigation. But yeah, he basically told me, this agent was like, yeah, like, when you're not the president, we just have more vulnerabilities. And that roof, 1,000% would have been secured if Trump was still the president. If this was 2020, it would have been secured. Or if Biden was there, it would have been more secured. The reality is they just didn't have it. Now, you can believe that or not, and a lot of people don't.
The photo and image I didn't know whether to believe was the bullet going by him.
I totally agree. That's a wild... If that's a real photo.
Like, what are the odds? How many shots got fired?
It's five, right? Five shots?
Five shots, and it nicked his ear. That's it.
Yeah, like, and part of me, like, the reason I don't think this was an inside job is, like, if you were going to do that, wouldn't you hire a marksman if you really wanted him to actually hit it and not some 20-year-old kid who may or may not have ever shot a gun from 150 yards before?
I don't know.
Or 500 yards or whatever?
Jake Paul saying WTF Secret Service doesn't start shooting until after the shooter did. It says so many red flags. Sniper was 150 yards out. Protocol for Secret Service is to have entire 500 yards of perimeter covered. His detail got compromised, or this was a mishap of epic proportions. And people are like, yo, don't be applauding the Secret Service. These were, I think, Trump fans saying this. Taking out a shooter that gets 8 shots off. You said 5, whatever, 8, I don't know. Kills a spectator, injures another, hits a former president in the head. That's not a win. These were egregious failures in coverage, mm-hmm. capability, and protocol. What is your answer to...
It may have been 5 before they shot back.
What is your answer to waiting, them waiting too long until the shots were fired at President Trump? Not striking first.
Not striking first. I don't know. Like, are they supposed to shoot on site if they see anything? Like, I don't know. Do they have to, like, you know what I mean? I don't know what their protocols are.
Because if the guy is just laying up there on a roof, again, you think that's what he's doing, something bad.
Right.
But you shoot him, you kill him, and then that's a disaster.
Right.
But I assume you're able to see that he had an AR.
I would assume you're able to see that. Because, like, maybe they didn't see him because the way the roof was pitched, they weren't able to see him until, you know, the shots went off and they were able to hear it. Because that guy that you saw, that sniper behind Trump, he shoots back. And then I wonder if, like, he had to refigure out where he was and find him again in the site.
But look, no matter, there's, you cannot dispute, love Trump, hate Trump, what he did in creating the images that are already all-time shots, no pun intended, with the blood, the fist raised. What he did in responding with his security detail to be like, wait, 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 and then be defiant, say, fight, fight, fight. I mean, that was freaking badass. Love him, hate him, you have to admit that. I know plenty of liberals who are like, damn.
Dang it.
Dang, what he did was freaking cool. And I texted you guys immediately. There's your Time magazine cover. That will be in the White House, framed up, replacing Biden.
Oh, he will absolutely put that photo up.
It'll be like us having SI covers around our room when we were kids. Him on the ground. That was Amanda, like, one of the first things she noticed. She's like, look at these photographers. Their shots being fired, and the photographers are running to the bottom of the stage to get those photos, and now you see why.
Yeah.
Because the photo of him on the ground underneath everyone, and then, of course, with the hand raised, people are like, this is way too staged. No one could do anything like that in the moment. No one could do anything that cool and defiant. The American flag was hanging over him, like, perfectly with the way he had his hand up and the blood drizzling from everywhere. I mean, you just had people saying, election over, night-night, ball game.
Yeah, and the photo there of the, specifically the one, like you said, that's kind of lower on the stage, just looking up, and he's got the fist that he's pushing out and just the blood, like, going down his ear. It's like, that'll be an image we see 50 years from now.
Yes.
Like mm-hmm. that's going to be a
how many profile shot. How many people change that to their profile pics?
Oh,
I was
my
waiting
God.
To just see new profile pics.
Absolutely.
All over social media.
Tons. On the Franklin Injury Attorneys Fan Decks, combat vet here, the rules screw us. They likely had to get command approval in order to be proactive with the shot, which ends up always getting us killed. Mm. 150 yards is a short distance with an AR-15. The sniper had him in sight for 4 minutes, and they wouldn't give him the green light to take him out. I there probably is a lot of red tape that goes through that.
And that's a lot of community. You worry about the Cowboys with 10 seconds left on the play clock. How about this?
Yeah.
With time of the essence.
You can't take him out fine. Like we'll just go from that perspective. But why not just... Get him off the stage. Just get Trump off the stage. Like, we're going to have to cut this short. Stop. Move him off the stage.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why that. I can understand if they feel like we can't get clearance to shoot, but if there's some sort of security threat, why aren't they saying
get him
off the stage?
Yeah, and then the video or the photos of him turning his head, like, how it would have created a different angle if his head didn't turn at the last second. I mean, the whole thing was, that was such a wild scene.
I mean, what was the last assassination attempt on a candidate or president would have been Hinckley, John Hinckley Jr. with Reagan in 81,
with Reagan,
I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you've obviously had some people who have planned certain things or, like, you know, you had somebody during the Obama years, I think during his first term, somebody had shot at the White House, but it's not like he was outside. There hasn't been, like, a credible attempt in person like that since probably Reagan. And, I mean, there was a stretch there from Kennedy in 63 to Reagan in 81 where it happened like six times, where George Wallace got shot, Bobby Kennedy got shot, Reagan, Gerald Ford, they tried a couple different times. And it's been this lull, essentially, for 43 years where we haven't had anything like this. And this is the first time really in any of our conscious lives that this has happened.
Yeah, and you know, my buddy who's in the service, he was like, you know, they don't use convertibles, obviously, anymore ever since Kennedy got shot. And he goes, I assume you won't see from either candidate. And I don't know if President Biden canceled his recent tour because they were outdoor venues and they may just go strictly indoors at this point. I don't know what they're going to do.
Delayed response in many people's opinions from Biden as Obama beat him to the punch on social media. You had world leaders, President Bush chiming in, everyone trying to condemn political violence. And tonight, you got the RNC in Milwaukee, and President Trump says, I'll be there. And that's why we played 50, because all the 50 Cent memes were going around. And 50 Cent was like, oh, well, why am I trending? And I think he put this up at one of his performances.
I don't know what's real anymore.
He had like a pop-up performance, and he put the Get Rich or Die Trying cover up with Trump's head that's superimposed awesome. On it, and he came out there and played Many Men.
If I think the despicable Clay Travis, whose guts I hate, he tweeted, though, if 50 Cent comes out tonight for the intro, like a UFC intro, that the roof will blow off the building. And it will blow off the building. It's going to blow off the building regardless.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know. Just Trump doesn't speak tonight, though, right? It's
no.
The president goes the last. He's
second
the last,
last
one.
Or last night or whatever it
was. Okay, so not tonight, do it.
Tonight will be
but if you just hear that
Kid
beat,
Rock or something.
Play it, Chris. If you hear that beat kicking off when Trump comes out before speaking, the whole place.
We'll
go and it'll break the internet.
It will.
Just that.
The internet. I was going to say, the people in the building, I don't know how many of them are actually going to even know the song if they hear it. But
But he's like, they showed his plane landing. So I would not surprise me if he just comes out and just waves tonight and then speak another night. He probably won't speak that. But like normally he's like the last or second to last day.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on the Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line. Do we have the greatest start to a career of all time with what happened yesterday on the grass? We have an NBA TV deal that Charles Barkley says is screwing you and a brand new giveaway. Sebastian Maniscalco tickets for you turning it on, leaving it on. That's all next with Sean and RJ.